He's a fine columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section, online, registerguard.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Austin, a most happy new year to you, sir. How are things?
Happy New Year to you as well, Steve. Now, did I just hear you disparaging Kansas? Is that what you were doing?
In football. Okay, only.
Well, in that case, fair game.
Although I saw in your kind of season-ending look-back article, you said to be a Kansas Jayhawk basketball fan is to know unbridled heartbreak. But they, you know, we're coming up on 10 years, but What do you do with that, even though there's, you know, the loss to Northern Iowa, Oregon, in essence, a home game last year? How does that all come out in the wash? How much do you have to incorporate before you arrive at following them as soul-crushing?
Well, I think the losses stick with fans longer than the victories do, especially the losses in the NCAA tournament when you get upset. You know, winning the title in 2008, Kansas fans will cherish that forever. But if you lose the next year in the second round, and then you lose a couple years after that in the Sweet 16, that starts to be what people remember. So they love Bill Self in Kansas. He could run for governor tomorrow and probably win in a landslide. But a lot of fans sort of getting a little bit impatient, thinking, okay, Bill, been 10 years now. let's get another title.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. They also lost to Bradley early, and they had another gut punch loss early on. I'm talking like the first round. Was it like to...
Yeah, Bucknell.
That was it. That was it. All right, you know, I could see your point there. Kind of a unique weekend. New Year's Day when it falls on a Monday, so, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and this year, you know, none of us were covering a football team. Compared to usual, what was your level of engagement as a college football viewer these last 4 days?
Well, I didn't get to watch a lot last week. We were traveling. We were up in Idaho and didn't have many of the luxuries of home, but when we got back the last couple days, I've more than made up for it. I was basically on the couch all day yesterday watching football, especially that Rose Bowl, you know, the semifinals have not been great, but we got one really good one yesterday, and the second one wasn't bad.
Yeah, I guess it was because of the lack of offense. But, you know, all season long, you could tune to various networks and you get your conference honks trying to preach the magnificence of their league. And then the Pac-12 goes and cranks out the worst bowl season ever. How much do we need to read into this? What do you make of the performance of the conference the past 2.5 weeks?
Well, we talked last week about how USC and Washington were going to be carrying the flag for the Pac-12 and bowl season, and we saw how that turned out. When you play 9 bowl games and all you've got to show for it is a win in the heart of Dallas Bowl, which, by the way, is not even part of the Pac-12 bowl agreement,
right.
that's nothing to brag about. That's a pretty rough bowl season. You know, look, I'm of the opinion that bowl results are not necessarily the best indicator of the quality of a conference, but I'll say in the Pac-12, were any of those games really that surprising? I mean, maybe outside of the Oregon game, I don't know that any Pac-12 team really totally played out of character. Even Washington State, you know, they got blown out by Michigan State, but Washington State, there's 2 or 3 games a year where they just don't show up. That's been their track record.
Yeah, and so, it seems like the bigger the game, the more they don't show up.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know that individually I was surprised by really any of those Pac-12 results. Now, on the aggregate, to go 1-8, that's pretty bad. You know, there's obviously some bad luck that goes into that happening, but I think it kind of confirmed what, you know, we've known now for at least half the season, which is that the Pac-12, top to bottom, was just a pretty mediocre conference this year.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, much discussed, Scott Frost takes an 0-12 team. 51 of the same players goes 13-0, major bowl win 2 years. He stays before he takes the Nebraska gig. You know, there's a lot of ways to go here. If there are multiple unbeaten Power 5 teams or one lost team who's just the beast, I get it. But my question I've been asking, how as fans do you not want to see how Central Florida would do in the playoffs a year like this?
Well, we love to see it because it would, you know, it would answer that lingering question of, you know, this team that is 13-0 and beat the only team that has beaten the two teams that are going to play for the national title. How would they stack up? I mean, I think people have pretty strong opinions on both sides of that. There are a lot of people who are saying if Central Florida had to go and play another game against Alabama or Georgia, they'd probably lose by 20. Maybe they would, but we don't know. It's impossible to say. So I've always thought that the best argument for a playoff, and I think the best argument for expanding the playoff, is a team like Central Florida that goes undefeated, that wins every game on its schedule, that proves they can beat an elite team like Auburn, but they don't have an opportunity to play for the national title because of the conference they play in. That is a problem. You know, I personally, it's not something that keeps me up at night. I'm not going to walk away from Monday's title game thinking, yeah, but what about Central Florida? But I do think, you know, just in principle, a team that wins all of its games ought to have an opportunity to play for the national championship, or else they ought to be part of a completely different structure. Because right now they're just kind of getting left out in the cold.
Absolutely. I'll get back to college football. I want to hit on hoops. The Duck women had a heck of a Sunday. Kelly Graves won his 500th game. Sabrina Ionescu sets the NCAA record for triple-doubles. As a bonus, they beat Washington. And the only two losses were both true road games to top five teams. I mean, right now as we sit, second day of 2018, how special and fun is this team to watch?
Well, I've been saying it for a while.
If you're not
watching the Oregon women, you're really missing out. They're just a fun team to watch. You know, they play a really fun style. They get up and down the court. They shoot a lot of three-pointers. You know, they really do. They play the way Oregon wanted to play, I think, when they hired Paul Westhead. That's kind of what they envisioned, was this really fun, you know, offensive, entertaining basketball team. Well, they have that now, but they also play enough defense that they're actually a threat to win in the Pac-12. So it's really the best of both worlds. I'm not necessarily going to say that Oregon right now is the favorite in the Pac-12. You know, they play UCLA this weekend. I think that's going to really show them where they're at, but I am very confident in saying they're going to be in this thing. They're going to be in it till the end. It's going to be a fun season, and you know, if you haven't gotten on the bandwagon already, it's not too late. I encourage you to do it because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you brought up a really interesting point that I think a lot of people forgot from last year. You know, their run to the Elite Eight kind of came out of nowhere. They were sub-500 in the Pac-12. So how important is it to remember that they brought back, in essence, that whole team, and now this is an upgraded team from last year?
Yeah, it is. And they're sort of in uncharted territory here. You know, I think everybody expected that with the players they brought back and the players that they added in, that they would be improved from last year. But are they ready to make that huge jump from being a team that finished sub-500 in the Pac-12 to being a team that maybe could win the Pac-12? You know, I think that remains to be seen if they can hold up with the teams that have been there before, like Oregon State and Stanford and UCLA, but they definitely have the talent. They definitely have the ability to do it, and that's why I think they'll be in the race.
talking many things with Austin Mika, the Register Guard. So yesterday, being New Year's Day, we got the national semis, maybe a not-so-thrilling Bama-Clemson. And I know TV dictates policy and this rotates, but how much on board were you with kind of old school January 1st getting to enjoy, you know, the most important games of the year?
Well, that's my favorite way to do it. I'm sort of a traditionalist in that sense. I like having the semifinals on New Year's Day. I like having the Rose Bowl be one of them. I like having all the bowls build up to the semifinals. You know, I know Nick Saban's complaining today that there's not enough time between the semis and the championship game now, and you know, we won't get this every year, but to me, I like it. It just feels right, doesn't it, to turn on the TV on New Year's Day and have the two biggest games of the season so far. You know, it was just perfect. I couldn't ask for more.
Now, I know the day after, especially with, you know, on planet Earth now, every thought gets posted on social media, and, you know, the official list is subjective. But, man, for those who are saying best Rose Bowl and all that hyperbole, I don't know. Could you ask for much more than we got from Georgia and Oklahoma yesterday?
Yeah, that made up for a lot of the bad semifinal games we've had the last few years, because that one was certainly everything that you could ask for and more. You know, just great drama. And I guess the only thing you could have asked for was a chance to see Baker Mayfield, you know, make the play, have the ball in his hands, you know, make the throw at the end to decide the game. Yeah, it was the only thing I think I was a little disappointed about coming out of that game was Oklahoma had two possessions in overtime and they settled for two field goals. And you know, they had a possession at the end of regulation.
Yep.
That they could have pushed it and kicked a field goal to win the game, and they didn't. So that was the only disappointing thing to me, is I would have, you know, I don't root for Oklahoma. I have no attachment to Oklahoma. But just as a story, I would have loved to see Baker Mayfield make the big throw at the end of the game to win it.
Yeah, instead of a shovel pass.
So,
you know, when the season was over and it was selection time, some folks got a bit bent over Alabama getting in. You know, well-documented, didn't win the conference, didn't win the divisions. But how important is it to remember that Alabama defense week one looked like a beast, and then they lost guys like Anfernee Jennings and Rashawn Evans, who were back yesterday, and could we now say we saw arguably the best defense in America last night?
Well, I think we did. I think Alabama's going to win the national championship. Georgia, I think, will be able to do some things offensively beyond what Clemson did with Georgia's running game. I think it'll be a slugfest, but I do think Alabama's the best team, and their defense, you know, just completely terrorized Clemson. I mean, it's just a whole, you know, a whole other level. When Alabama's defense is healthy, that, you know, that layoff, that break between the end of the regular season and not playing in the SEC title game, I think helped Alabama. Now look, you know, Ohio State made a pretty good argument too with how they played against USC. It was not a slam dunk that Alabama was going to get into this thing, but they got in, and I think they showed why they're in, and I think they showed why they're. Alabama's probably the best team in the country.
What did you make of, to wrap with this, Nick Saban complaining about a week in between games, even though they had 6 weeks and 2 days off between Auburn and yesterday? And I don't know if I'm an expert on college football, but don't they play every week a lot during the regular season?
Well, they do, almost every week, yeah, in fact. You know, I guess I will say, having, you know, covered the playoff a couple years ago, it's such a totally different world from regular season football. You know, the media responsibilities that the teams have to go through, just all the extra stuff, the hoopla. I remember when Oregon was in it, just thinking, wow, how do they find time to, even prepare to play the game with all the other stuff they have to do. So I'm sure that that is part of Nick Saban's point, you know, is that for a game of this magnitude with everything surrounding it, it's hard to fit all of that into 8 days. I actually think there's, you know, I think there is some validity to that in the same way that, you know, they take a week off before the Super Bowl, so you get 2 weeks to sort of build up to it. So I see what he's saying, but that being said, both teams have the same amount of time. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Go play the game. I'm guessing it'll be a good game, and I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't be so annoying if it weren't Saban. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
He's Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Follow him on Twitter, the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, thanks for kicking the new year off. Always a pleasure, and we'll catch up real soon.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right, bye.